So have you seen any people walking around with sayings written backwards on their foreheads in henna? Do you remember the haikus along 42nd Street? Projections of people jumping up and down the length of skyscrapers? The twin towers of light reaching up to the sky? Did you speak your piece into the giant red megaphone during the RNC? These are just a few of the public art projects that the group called Creative Time has helped to bring to the streets of New York. Now, that organization is celebrating its 33rd birthday this month with a book, a cell phone tour of some of New York's contemporary art history, and several art performances. Joining me now to talk about Creative Time and the way the public and art interact is the organization's president and artistic director, Ann Pasternak, and artist and musician David Byrne, who many of you worship as one of the founders of the band Talking Heads. He's part of the New York art and music scene, obviously, and was one of the participants in the Creative Time project, Sonic Garden, in 2002. And David, welcome to WNYC. Good morning.
Brian, it is a thrill to be here. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
And can you tell us about the birth of Creative Time in 1974, which in New York City terms is eons ago? What was the art scene in the city then? I mean, Soho, where you started out, was just getting started as an artist haven, right?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, you know, it's interesting to think back. It's just such a short time ago, 33 years ago. But the art scene was extremely experimental, artists taking all sorts of experiments beyond the confines of the studio or the gallery or the museum and making things happen in unlikely kinds of public spaces. And, you know, this was a time period that we had the birth of the land art movement. But it was also the time period where we saw the most experimental, diverse growth and artistic practice in this country.
So I listed some of the things, some of the public art projects that, you know, people may remember, if not participating in, then seeing around town, because they're the kinds of things that you run into. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go to a theater or go to a museum necessarily to see. And David, you were involved in Sonic Garden, which was done at the Winter Garden Theater and the World Financial Center, at the Winter Garden in the World Financial Center in 2002, after it had reopened after the attack. What was your role?
I was one of the participating kind of audio artists. There was a number of them.
What was your piece?
My piece was mainly a lot of typical kind of Catskills comedian jokes.
Really?
Because the location is a place where kind of visitors would come and into that lobby and then go up onto the terrace and they'd view Ground Zero. So it was, and a lot of these people were from out of town. So I wanted to give them something sort of wacky and light and positive, and it was typical of what I think of part of what New York is about, which is it's the place where that kind of humor emerged, that kind of mainly Jewish humor. Maybe it has its roots in the old world, but it really kind of blossomed here and in the Catskills and elsewhere, and now it's just part of the world's bank of humor.
So, Anne, that's really very Creative Time, isn't
it?
Yeah,
absolutely. You know, people don't think about sound art as, they don't think about sound art. And so we wanted to do something at the Winter Garden. We were asked by the World Financial Center Arts and Events to inaugurate the space once it was rebuilt after 9/11. And we thought, what better way, rather than sort of visually imposing something on the space, but creating an inspiring environment sonically with artists?
Now, that event is a stop, or that location is a stop on your cell phone tour of art spots around the city. Tell us a little bit about this cell phone tour. We'll play some of the audio from the Sonic Garden stop,
right?
And we're also going to take, in fact, we'll do it right now, open up the phones for our listeners, because there are 32 stops on this New York art spots tour or art history tour, and you are asking for a 33rd.
We're looking for a 33rd, absolutely. So great ideas for experimental art that happened over the past 30 years. So listen, I just want to give you a little bit of background. You mentioned that during 1974, this was a very experimental time for art in general in the city, but the city was also on the verge of bankruptcy. And so the organization really founded at this time period to give artists a platform to try new things and expose larger publics to contemporary artistic practice, but it was also to revitalize the city. The city's changed a lot, and it seems to us that there's a lot of nostalgia about the art scene in the late 1960s and 1970s right now. Think about the Gordon Matta Clark show at the Whitney Museum. Fantastic show if you haven't seen it. But at any rate, we thought, as we were taking a look at our past and the history and launching this book, why don't we commit plaques, historic plaques, you know, like Martha Washington slept here kind of plaques, to where experimental artistic activity happened here in the city. And so there are 32 plaques around the city devoted to acknowledging where places like the Mud Club and Max's Kansas City, as well as some Creative Time projects and other artist projects happened. And with those plaques, you can see a telephone number, call in, and hear an artist or a figure like David or John Waters or Laurie Anderson talking about what used to be there.
And we're going to play the Laurie Anderson one here in just a minute, but now I'll give out the phone number. If you have any suggestions for iconic contemporary art spots or maybe unsung contemporary art spots that you think should be the 33rd and final stop on this cell phone tour by Creative Time, call us right now and suggest it. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 for Ann Pasternak and David Byrne. So here's Laurie Anderson, the musician and performance artist, describing her part of Sonic Garden at the just-repaired Winter Garden Atrium that had been damaged in the attacks of 9/11. So the time of this is 2002.
I got there, they just repaired the whole thing, and they said, what do you want to do? So I'd always wanted to build a violin the size of a building. So I made a piece for a single violin, but because I was able to place the sounds in an architectural context, mm-hmm. I could put all of these overtones up near the ceiling and all of the sub-bass things that are generated by the low sounds of this instrument way down around the bases of the palm trees, and I was able to split that up so it was like you were living inside a huge violin. Mm-hmm. I got to put it in at night and work on tweaking it. What I really loved about it was all of the cleaning staff came in and just stopped working and leaned on their brooms and listened, and I thought, wow, you know, it's one thing to make art for your peers, and it's another to make art for New Yorkers and also for people who lived around there and who went there on their lunch hour, like my brother who worked in one of the buildings right there. A lot of his friends had died, and he said, I really like going over there and spending some time just with that piece of music. When I listen to it, it is pretty upbeat kind of thing. Mm-hmm. That was the temperature at that point, as surprising as it might sound. Mm-hmm. It was people who realized that they were actually part of history, and we had proved that we could rise to that occasion as human beings.
David Byrne, any thoughts on Laurie Anderson's thoughts? if you're speechless.
No, I was just listening.
You're a good listener, David.
Very attentive, taking time to digest. Well, let me throw something else at you. There's a passage in the accompanying book about Creative Time's response to 9/11. That says there was no better opportunity to emphasize Creative Time's adamant belief in the power of art to bring people together, to address the complexity of a community's viewpoint, shape our culture, or even to heal through art than through projects developed in the aftermath of 9/11. And I'm interested in the address the complexity of a community's viewpoints. David, is that your approach at all to art? Because we seem to get so many musical viewpoints in your work.
Well, yeah. Well, a lot of, I think, what Creative Time does is really geared to a specific place in the location where it is, and the specific time that it's in there. What decade or whatever, whether it's something in Times Square or the Towers of Light or whatever, those are really mm-hmm. specific about a specific time and place. They're not just something. They're not just an art piece that works would have the same meaning anywhere at any particular time.
people know you, you know, best from Talking Heads, but you have all these other projects, international music, soundtracks, you do visual art. You're working on a piece now, I understand, about Imelda Marcos and disco. So for you, was rock stardom something you went after, or was it just kind of an outgrowth of your performance art fun?
Well, no, I didn't really go after stardom, but I went, I knew that I was kind of socially inept, so that I knew that performing was a way I could kind of communicate to people.
Let's take some of the suggestions from some of our listeners for Stop 33 on the Creative Time cell phone tour on their 33rd anniversary. Roanne in Manhattan, what you got?
My friend Madeline Galland used to do upholstered stumps all over the East Village. So you'd just
Fabulous.
Be walking down the street, and there'd be a little stump. And she'd upholster them with, like, red patent leather and the brass tacks, and they were very boudoirish and cool.
She should do that again. I love that idea.
I know. She should.
Sounds better than the cows.
Yeah,
Roanne,
for sure.
Thank you. Matt in Queens, you're on WNYC.
Hey, how's it going? I was going to suggest the quite recent closing of Tonic down on Norfolk Street due to the horrible condominiums that are continuously being built around the city, and just thousands of musicians that get to play at very few clubs have been silenced by, just the upright gentrification that's happening right now.
That's right on.
Matt, thanks a lot.
It's problematic.
David, you were one of the voices associated with, the early CBGBs. Are you concerned about places for new musical artists to get a foothold with the gentrification that Matt's talking about?
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel nostalgic for any old places because, well, things just change. That's what happens. But at the same time, yeah, you do sense that artists who helped begin the gentrification process in a lot of neighborhoods are the first ones to get pushed out once the rents go up.
This is actually a major issue for the city. I think that as the city takes a look at its urban planning, they need to really address the fact that the creative class, so-called creative class, is moving to other places. And they're not moving to, Beacon, New York. They're moving to Berlin. They're moving to Mexico City. And it's going to be a real drain creatively in terms of the quality of life in our city.
So, for David, go ahead.
Yeah. I feel that the reason the neighborhoods become hip and cool and the rent goes up is because the artists are there. Because there's artists and galleries and all that clubs and that kind of activity. And then when that gets driven out, then the reason why people came to that neighborhood has gone away.
So, Anne, for your group, Creative Time, does more real estate and hedge fund money mean fewer artists but bigger projects?
I don't know if I'd make that equation, but I would say that, what David is talking about is really quite apparent, I think, to all of your listeners, to all of us, and it's the reason why we did the plaque project to begin with. And I do think that some actions definitely need to be taken to make sure that the city remains sort of the creative hotbed it once was. I think, fortunately, we have a mayoral administration that's extremely supportive of experimental and public art, but we are in constant I wouldn't say battle or combat, but just sort of negotiation with the developing forces of the city, without question.
Okay, so if you're just joining us, Creative Time, which is celebrating its 33rd anniversary this year, is launching the cell phone tour of 33 contemporary art or art history hotspots in New York. They chose 32, and they're opening the 33rd to public suggestions. So we're taking those suggestions. And Tim in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Tim.
Hi.
What you got?
Hi, Anne. This is Tim Whitten.
Hi, Tim.
From MTAA.
Hi.
Okay, you can have lunch another day. What's up?
All right, sorry. I'm suggesting the Mustard Factory in Williamsburg on Metropolitan Avenue, which had a bunch of great things happen in the early and mid-90s during the time when Williamsburg was kind of the up-and-coming art scene. It's also being replaced with condominium, by the way.
Tim, thank you very much. Mark in Weston, Connecticut. You're on WNYC. Hi, Mark.
Hi, I was going to suggest the Ridiculous Theatrical Company at Sheridan Square. I don't know if that quite fits in. It's dramatic art, but it's certainly something very special that happened there for quite a while.
We love it all.
Thank you. Scott in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. What you got?
Hi there. This is a thrill. David Myrna, I just got to tell you, I'm the guy who got you together with Richard Thompson in 91, if you might remember that.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. And I also want to thank you for turning me on to Imani Coppola, who is my favorite music artist since Prince. And but I want to mention a place in the Bronx that used to be called The Dome in Seton Park. Am I still on the air?
Yes.
Oh. There used to be a place in the Bronx called The Dome in Seton Park, and this is around 1970, and there ought to be a monument there, but it was referred to in the neighborhood as the Hippie Dome, but there was all kinds of, there was beautiful painting going on there, there was great experimentation with sex and drugs, which I think is part of the art experience, and I think we should, that should be emphasized more, especially, I think we should have something, more art, less sports. I think we should have
more art, less sports, says Scott.
That's my bumper sticker.
More art, less sports. Scott.
How about as much art as sports?
But I think there are other things that we should reduce before sports.
Yeah.
How about lots of art, lots of sports, and less other stuff?
How about less war?
So, Scott, thanks a lot. And this is what the media has come to, by the way. Because I didn't interrupt him for 45 seconds, he didn't think he was on the air anymore. We're almost out of time, but David Byrne, you started the record label, the Waka Bop, to increase the presence of international artists in the public awareness. Do you think New York's global city status is an influence on your work?
Oh, yeah. A lot of my first exposure to Cuban music, Latin music, salsa, and Brazilian music, whatever, back in the late 70s, early 80s, was through clubs in here in Manhattan, and they often were just a few blocks from the rock clubs. So it was, you didn't have to wander far. You didn't have to get an air ticket. You just had to walk down the block.
You had to have the curiosity to break out of your own little peer group, though.
Well, yeah, maybe some of that.
He's a curious guy.
Give us just a few seconds on this new project on Imelda Marcos and disco. I have no idea.
Well, Imelda used to go to Studio 54 and other places. She had a disco in her New York townhouse, and I did some research and thought that there's an interesting story between her and the woman who raised her, and that kind of music, or at least music with that kind of energy, maybe not exactly kind of strictly retro music, but music with that kind of energy might be appropriate way to capture how she felt.
And she had plenty of dancing shoes.
Yes.
And so, David, you should mention, too, that we have the organ coming up this fall down at the Battery Maritime Building, a building that hasn't been used by the city in years.
That's
so another
a creative
collaboration.
Time project with David Byrne.
Absolutely. Can't wait.
Okay.
So
we will have to leave it there. I've been speaking with Ann Pasternak and David Byrne about the 33rd anniversary of the public arts organization Creative Time. More about the cell phone tour and other events this month can be found on their website at creativetime.org or a link from our page at wnyc.org. Thanks to both of you for being on with us. Thanks
Brian,
so
what
much.
A pleasure. Thank you. Thank you, David.
Thank you, Ann.
Same as it ever was. Same as it ever was. Same as it ever was.